we got. I think I could just talk about the game. I can't believe the number of games out there. Like, it's annoying. Like, it's so frustrating, the queue. Horizon, the ones that are out, like Horizon Zero Dawn, Injustice 2 coming out, Mordor, the second one, Injustice 2. I don't know if I ever said that one already.
Okay. You're really excited for that one.
Is there really a lot of games, or are you just having like memory lapses?
It's like seven games. Justice. Justice.
There's Battletoads is coming in. Justice like three times in between them.
Elite Dangerous has all this new content. No Man's Sky had a massive update. It's such a cool update.
I heard Elite Dangerous is coming to PS4.
And possibly like the VR. Yeah. It's just like, God, oh, so many.
I thought Jeff mentioned Elite Dangerous again, just a call back to the
Hey, did you know Elite Dangerous is coming out?
Apparently No Man's Sky's new update's really big.
Oh, you guys are some jerks.
Hey, did you see that Injustice trailer? Like,
they've got a second one.
Oh,
go ahead and close. Close the computer now and just
that's it.
Yeah. No, there is a good wave of games coming in, but I think it's also like, you know, it's that whole same old thing. It's like when you're a dad, you gotta kind of pick your battles and decide, okay, what am I really good at?
Man, Legend of Zelda looks so good. I just can't buy a console for one game.
No, exactly.
No. Flash forward to next week. Look what I get.
Yeah.
If I knew anybody who would do that. I
think it'll be you. I was telling my wife, I was like, Trevor's such a good candidate for the Switch because you're flying a lot, right? And you have
if it had only come out like 5 months earlier, like it would have been I am the ideal
on the wrong horse. Like, you did PSVR, but if you had a way on the Switch instead, like
the one system I can't take, the most immovable system.
Yeah. Ever. Well, you could sit on the plane with it, just kind of
for the man who travels. Lot the thing that's really
that's me on the plane, like putting the camera, like waving around, like just slamming everyone. Meals are going flying.
TSA's
that's just why. I think very specifically about that, like just how perfect the use case is for my current flying and work scenario, and just maybe I bet on the wrong horse. Maybe I just bet on the wrong horse. Well, Jeff, I'll sell you a PSVR for the cost of the Switch.
Well, that's actually, you could probably wind up trading the thing, because I bet there's going to be a few Switch owners who are like, I wish I got VR.
Yeah.
And you find one of them and be like, hey, do you want to do a switcheroo?
Oh.
That's my life. That was beautiful. Nice, man.
I don't think it has Injustice on it, though.
Oh,
but how about Injustice 2? Oh, man. Well, this, like, the show just started. Did we just like jump into the show?
Yeah, this is it.
We sort of did.
Yeah, I got
him. Time ago.
I don't even want to, like, I'm going to edit back the beginning.
To those of you just tuning in, we just started the show an hour ago.
I don't even know if I bothered with the intro.
No, there was no intro.
They were
just on a journey.
What episode is this anyways? Like, if this is the person's off and on point, then we'll just Tarantino it. We'll do the intro at the end.
Perfect.
There we go.
Great.
So I had Trevor's PlayStation VR for about a month, and I didn't even get it out of the box because my life's been pretty chaotic with work.
Because some of us have responsibilities.
No. But also, too, like, when I was left at the end of the day, it's like pretty late at night, and I have the option of, like, do I have to play around with AV equipment, or do I just boot up my PlayStation and play whatever disc is in it? And that usually outweighed the other. It's like, I know it's probably only about 20 minutes of work, but I don't want to add 20 minutes of work on. So it was as much my being busy as it was my just own lack of initiative. And just like, I just didn't take the initiative to do it. And it's like, okay. And then that's why it is now in the hands of Jeff, who who in within an hour and a half of picking it up an hour away from where he lived, he had already played 2 hours of PSVR. Somehow Jeff can freeze time, and that is his secret. And we need to know his secret powers of time travel.
Yeah, joke's on you. He had he picked up a van and he installed a big TV. he had that rocking on the van on the way home. Yeah, this driving sim feels so real.
Yeah. Taught his kids how to drive.
Yeah. For the brick.
Yeah. Daddy's gonna sit in the back seat. Your youngest does the gas and brake, your oldest does the steering. And you sit in the trunk area and PSVR.
It's not too far off.
That'd be like extra input though, because like the car's rocking around, swerving yeah. pedestrians, and you think that it's like a, like an interstellar dogfight when it's really just your kids committing traffic crime.
Yeah, lots of it.
So Jeff, new dads want to know, what is your experience with PSVR?
You're not getting it back.
The last time
it's you ever here. Saw this. This is it. Yeah, it's amazing. It is, you can't even describe it because you need to experience it. The first game
that takes 20 minutes.
Oh no, it's just and to set it up. Okay, setup was easy. Like just because everything's numbered and the boxes are numbered and everything connects into each other. It's not like it's you're.
Like I'll say packaging. If there's an award for packaging design like this, like they.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah. They knocked it out.
Yeah, easy to set up. So I had it going, and I was like, well, it's booted up. I might as well take it for a spin. So I had everything. I think I had like 7 games downloading at once, just with all the demos, right? So all the demos going, the CDs installing. I'm waiting at the menu screen for like the percentage to tick up so I could start it. And we started I think it was the playroom one. So the one with the robots. And just again, blown away by the like fidelity of the graphics in the world. Like you could look at the robots and they're like textured, like material, little cartoon guys. And, I wasn't used to the whole world kind of rotating around me and then like going away and coming up with like a new world if you selected a level, so that kind of got some getting used to. But
that's one of the most jarring thing right now, designers is trying to figure out how to load that stuff in without like making people lose their bearings.
Yeah, but like everything was like no load time or anything in that game. It was just you choose your world, you go into like a little mini game and you just run with it.
Walk me through and the cool part when you first experienced the rocket and the controller. Can you walk everyone through what that's like?
Oh, it's okay. I didn't expect the game to make the controller in the world. So I didn't expect, so you're holding a DualShock, right? I didn't try the Move controllers yet, but you're holding the DualShock in the game. It can make it into whatever it needs to be, right? So in the playroom one, it was this little, like it was a Ghostbuster sucker. So I had to suck ghosts into it and having it kind of overlaid on your little controller. And then you could look into it and see like little guys bounce around and talk to you and stuff was nuts. And it changed every game. Like every single time it would change like what you look like too. One, you're playing a dinosaur and you can look behind you and see your tail, which is nuts. Like you look down, you have this like dinosaur dragon body and you're going through this town smashing buildings. It's really well done, and I was surprised at how many people aren't really talking about that one. It's just, it was a good demo experience. Like my wife tried it for a little bit. She kind of got freaked out at little parts, but it was neat, and it can work as a family too. Because I had my son play off screen, so he can play through the TV and interact in the game with me. So a lot of them are cooperative mini games. So with the ghost one, he had to tell me where the ghost was, and I had to fire my little ghost laser at it.
So like when your kids are old enough to sort of like describe to you what they're seeing and have that sort of verbalization, then it's like something that you can definitely participate. And especially too, there's a lot of games out there that have that sort of like asymmetrical gameplay, like keep talking and nobody dies.
Yeah, that looks cool
something
too.
Like that. Like, and like games too that aren't very violent, so they're kind of E for everyone. Because like with that one, it's like it's a bomb and it's gonna explode, but that's the most that it is. And it's like I think any kid who's watched any Looney Tunes is familiar with explosives. Yeah. So like it's not that bad of a like there are worse things out there.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's exciting. I didn't even think of that method, but yeah, there's that sense of like your kid can play too, but they're sort of doing it from the sidelines. While you get to do the, well, you get to be the quarterback. They're sort of like the water boy.
I really think that's got to be one of the smartest things they did with this system around it being interactive. Because everybody, like the cool thing about VR is like, let me have the VR set. So it's a room of people, but as opposed to this one dude in this weird looking mask that, you know, is not going to interact with you for 5 minutes. It's a group experience. It's just like, okay, so you can either, you're going to be the bomb diffusers or at least have the guide. You're going to tell me where the ghosts are. You know, that type of, even for games that aren't, such as Drive Club, when Jeff, you get around to playing the driving game, it's shown on screen. So like you're still, everyone else is still kind of seeing you like look kind of foolish because you're trying to drive an imaginary car, but they're seeing how bad you're doing or great you're doing. So it still tends to be a bit of a community experience, except the one person, like that hot switching becomes all the more interesting. I mean, like my dad tried it, like, which is, he does not play games, right? But he saw everyone else kind of having a turn, like in the hot seat. Man, but with the kid thing is so interesting. So like to have your, if you can talk more through some of the experiences, like in each of the games, like, so your kids were playing, we're doing this, Gavin's analogy, your quarterback, your kids are, I don't know, linesman or whatever, sports analogy.
Sports reference. So with the Dragon Godzilla kind of guy, you are in the VR, you're the Dragon Godzilla guy that kind of goes through this cartoon city that smashes buildings, right? And then there's little robot guys running away from you on the highway. And so my son played one of those little robot guys, and outside on the TV screen, he has a different view. So it's different from what I'm seeing, and he can kind of play the game that way. And as I smash buildings, it kind of propels objects in front of his path that he has to either jump or like change lanes kind of on the highway. So he's doing that while I'm going through the town, wrecking it. And I can look around all at me, and he's trying to throw stuff at me at the end. So we tried it. I'm supposed to duck it as he throws it. So I won a couple, and then I let him, he beat me. So he threw the stuff at the dragon guy, and then he wins if he hits me enough times. And what happens then is he gets this huge, like, I don't know, like blaster, and then he blasts me, and all of a sudden you're in this little island and you shoot all the way out to planet Earth. You see the moon. And then you see him win on the satellite. This is little cartoon satellite. And you see him hop up on like first place and like celebrate with all his robot friends. But like that experience of being like hit through the clouds all the way, and you can see everything you've done all the way into space and kind of look around, was just like, it's a seamless experience. It didn't totally like send me off my feet like I thought it would, because that's kind of a weird experience to do, but it's such a neat game. And they have like a tower defense one now. I think it's relatively new. And I'm the one that's manning like kind of like a bubble machine gun, trying to shoot guys that are trying to get me. And he's running around trying to hit guys as like a third person kind of robot with like a big balloon hammer or something. He's running around trying to get the team. So I take the left, he takes the right, and we communicate each other that way. And if I talk, it's a different voice coming through the TV screen for him, which I didn't notice because I had the earphones in. So my voice has changed to him. It's like this robot voice that comes out. So it's kind of neat that way. It's like little touches that was neat to see. So it was really neat.
Now, was it just your oldest who was playing with you, or was your youngest playing as well?
My youngest was watching. And he also kind of went after my legs a couple times, which I will recommend is quite a different experience in VR when you're totally in that world. So
that was my one concern as well, is just like, because mine is so young, that even just having like where I had the equipment set up, like there's not really a good spot to tuck it where she can't get it. And she's at that age right now where she just wants everything. Like she's climbing up on couches to get to light switches and stuff like that. So like part of me is like, I want to set this stuff up, but I don't really have anywhere that it can rest and not be at the sticky grasps of the toddler all day right. long. But even then, like if I was to even try playing it when she was in the room and my wife was around, like she doesn't really have that. Like she wants into everything all the time.
Yeah.
Always. So whatever you're doing, she wants in on it. So to have like, but then to like blindfold myself and immerse myself into this world and then have this little person who just wants into everything and grab at everything. It's like, I'm like, that's just a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
So that was one of the deterrents as to why, like, I didn't set it up because I felt like my dad to kid relationship right now was too young to really make best use of that. But it sounds like once they get a little bit older that this can actually be like a family event. It can be something that, and as your kid gets even older, eventually it can be a trade-off. It's like, okay, well, now you get to try it. But even then, it's the same as like with a 3DS and trying to figure out like, okay, you know, talk to your optometrist and make sure you get their blessing before you go.
Which we did do actually for the 3DS part, because we wanted to switch that on for his birthday. And I guess
happy birthday.
Which he had no concerns. It's just basically you find out whether or not you have like a depth perception problem at that time. So it's they're being careful. So obviously it's like, you know, better safe than sorry, and they don't want lawsuits saying my kid's foaming at the mouth and bumping into walls and all sorts of crazy.
Yeah. So I want to hear about some of the other games and everything you play, but I before you get to those, I want to know about Bot Rescue, because I think for myself that was one of the most impressive demos I had played. If you can walk me through your experience.
So that one,
because you had a backup. I never had backup.
Yeah. So in that one, it's kind of set up like you're in a Mario level. That's how it's built. Like it's, you're this VR little robot person, and you have to jump on ledges and rescue all these other robots, and the depth in it is insane. So you have to look up and see where they are, look down below. You have to fire like a little string that helps your little guy run across the tight rope, across large gaps. And then my son helped me through the level, which I guess you can only rescue some of the robots if you had a second player. He has like a little wind machine that he can blow parts of the level to help me, that I can't access. So he has to coordinate with me, and we go on other little like side adventures around the level. And it's really neat because he'll kind of float in front of me. So he's in like this hovering little machine, and he has to communicate to me because he has a different screen on what he sees versus what I see. So it's a really neat, I could totally see how like a Mario or a Crash Bandicoot, I think as you mentioned, that would be perfect for VR in a sense. Like, there are parts where I got a little like, whoa, this is kind of tripping me, like stomach's kind of churning a little bit. Cause at the end, there's a huge slide that you have to slide down to the finish line. And to do that at that kind of weird speed was, and I'm not moving, was a little bit like, whoa, that's gonna happen. Yeah. But it was a fun experience.
VR as well, is because it's telling a lot of your senses that this is happening, but there's a few senses that aren't in on the joke.
Yeah, no, so it's
there's that disconnect where it's like all your other senses are saying, it's like, yeah, I'm flying through the air like an eagle, and I'm falling, but then like your inner ear is like, no, you're not, you're sitting down. So that juxtaposition between sensory input can be a little, I imagine, quite intense. Like most of the VR stuff that I've tried out has been pretty tame, but I could imagine like having that sort of the Aladdin rug pulled out from under you, and you just on it, and all of a sudden your body's like, you're not falling, no,
you're not doing this. But it's gravity. It's really, it does have its moments of that, but it's really smooth. Like I'm surprised. Like I think a lot of the problems with VR is that it doesn't match your head movement, so that little bit off is telling your inner ear like, whoa, it's not happening. And it's really smooth on how that works, at least in that game. I tried a couple other games, but that one is a really neat experience, especially two player. And I can also see like almost like a team effort. Like some of those mini games, you can have four people kind of join in and help you. So it's neat that you can kind of complete the game with somebody like your son or daughter, and have them not totally out of the experience. So it's a, it was a good experiment. I'm surprised that they haven't expanded on that yet, or maybe they plan on doing that.
It's just the Crash Bandicoot. Sorry, go, Gavin.
I was going to say, are you brave enough to venture into any horror games?
Okay.
Planning on any of that, like when the kids are in bed, like find a soundproof room that you can just scream, squealy, high-pitched scream.
Well, I am downloading Resident Evil, the demo.
There you go.
So I'm going to try it. Man, I'm not going to try it.
Man, I can't wait to see that review, because that, I don't know that it was, the sense of dread was certainly, and as I mentioned, I'll be curious if you get the same thing, but the scariest thing was the sense of space behind you, because you can look, because it's horror class, so classically is presented on a flat front, right? This is it.
Yeah.
But to have this entire encasing, to know that, like, and I'm talking, when I did it, I felt it behind me. I'm so much a monster, but just like that, there's space, all, like, where is it? Because I'm all around. I was so foreboding. I'd be mad. I shouldn't have psyched you up. I should have said, don't worry about it. Just go for it.
But is it, that's the kitchen demo, right? Because I'm downloading the actual game demo.
Because
it has VR stuff. So I'm going to download, I have both, right? Going. So I'll try both. But yeah, I tried the Until Dawn Rush of Blood, where you're on this like roller coaster through a
that's more fun than a horror.
Yeah, but it has some cool elements where, you know, like there's like a ghost girl that kind of says peekaboo over here, and then you have to look to see where she is. That is nuts. That's the beginning of it.
That was scary.
And like even having like, you have, I think, pistols or shotguns at some point, and you fire them, and then they heat up, and you can see the, like, the heat in the metal, and then it cools. And then you flip it up and your ammo goes in. And I haven't played all of it, but I started it and then I stopped it. But I will go back in, because it was
just... Is that your hesitant way of saying, I got a little scared?
It was intense. And I had been playing that...
Nope.
Yeah. Definitely not for long play sessions, that thing. So your eyes kind of get tired at a certain point. But
yeah, what is the sort of the fatigue drop off? Like, what sort of duration of time when you're like, yeah, I gotta.
So I'd be curious to know, because for myself, with I had upwards of a 2-hour session, and felt pretty good. Like, I don't know that I was ever limited by, okay, now I'm uncomfortable or my eyes hurt more than, okay, well, that's, you have 2 hours is pretty luxurious for a dad. So I don't think I can pull that off again for another couple months. But so Jeff, yourself, like, what is the fatigue?
It does depend on the game. Like the playroom with the little robots, that was fine. I could do that for, I think we played for an hour with my son, and then it was just game over time. So that was fine after that. Last night, coming out of it after playing London Heist, so it's kind of like the Hitman style guns, you're driving, you're ducking and covering and all that stuff. That one, when I came out of it, I felt okay. But then when I was like reading something like in a regular book, the letters kind of looked not quite there, if you know what I mean. It was kind of like a disorienting, like, whoa, okay. Like, maybe I should have taken a break after, like, I think I played that one for maybe 45 minutes. So that one, I think, was a little bit more intense. Just maybe my body's not used to it yet, or my eyes aren't quite adjusted to it. But it does, I think it does depend on the game intensity and like the light that's in there. So a lot of it is very, very bright, and it's like there's no way to, you can't blink, like you have to kind of look into this world.
So, and it's like a scene in Clockwork Orange,
yeah, you're just like,
ripped into your face. Yeah, that was something that always sort of was curious, like a little thing I was wondering about with VR is that, like, I know with just standard looking at a screen gaming, like even that, like there's a time where you sort of hit a level of fatigue and you're like, okay, I need to take a break. And I, same with even that, there's certain games that have a sense of like, I can, this one's really easy on the eyes, this one's a little harder on the eyes, and it is totally just a, like, you know, light intensity or contrast sort of variation. But yeah, it's that sensation of like, what is the the fall off, and like also it's like, how long do I need to recover? Like, it's like,
yeah,
you know, I'm done this thing. It's like, are my pupils gonna stay dilated for a while? Like, am I gonna have to take a break? It's like, if I want to do any major reading after, or
yeah,
am I gonna be able to? So that's always something I've been curious with me, is just the focal distance that your eyes have to interact with,
mm-hmm,
compared to like a screen. And I know I'm just totally nerding out about like eye health, but like,
yeah,
my job is about being able to see well, so I kind of do.
It's a good thing, yeah, to see, right?
Like, yeah, kind of the same with you. Like, we're, yeah, both of our livelihoods kind of rely on being able to use our eyes every day,
yeah,
to the best of the organ's ability. So yeah, something like this, I've always sort of been curious to me, is like, how does it feel? Like, how do you, and it's like, is the trade-off worth it? Like, is the limited time that you get to spend because you don't want to like over exert your eyes, is that 45 minutes versus like, let's say, an hour to an hour and a half of a different, mm-hmm, game, but on a different display? And yeah, it's,
yeah, it can definitely, and maybe it's an adjustment period, like, period, and maybe that is damage being done or not, but I don't think it's
but what a way to go.
Yeah, it's not uncomfortable, it's
like the headset itself is done, sort of like in some, yeah, instances, like, I need to get my bearings.
Yeah, it's a little bit more back, like, okay, you know, let's take a break for a while. And I don't think I would be able to, like, if it was Resident Evil, I don't think I could do, you know, a heart attack in a, yeah, game for an hour. So, but some of the games were fun, like Drive Club. A lot of people experience sickness with that one, just with the speed, but I found it amazing. And I could drive so much better being, oh, in, yeah, a car and, yeah, taking, right, those turns.
Absolutely. Like, I noticed a remarkable difference in being how much you can actually gauge a turn.
Yeah.
And coming up to something.
We're taught when we learn how to drive to look to where you want to go.
Right.
Like, look where you want to go, look where you want to go. So, like, in most driving games, you don't have that option to be able to comfortably look where you want to go. So, to have that where the camera tracks where you're looking.
Yeah.
And allows you to look where you want to go. I think that sort of allows a better relationship with the vehicle. Even though the vehicle doesn't exist. Like, I'm really curious to see that combined with like a steering wheel gas pedal input device.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
that would be experience that would be.
And especially the steering wheels that have the force feedback.
Force feedback. You might as well just get a chair, just a whole, yeah, cabin.
Is that, man? I was looking into it because the driving part especially just is. For myself, because that had to be that's the game I had played the most, because that's so enjoyable and, mm-hmm, most easily have been able to get other people to play, because it's such a natural, oh, I can drive. Except, yeah, now I'm in a Ferrari in Tokyo, which I don't usually get to be. So the thought that you could put that person into with a steering wheel that actually kind of kicks back based on the turn, like,
yeah,
oh, that sounds so amazing.
One of the best little side projects, which I think would be great for this, is somebody took one of those ottomans, like the bench ottoman that's hollow on the inside, and they set it up so like you take the top off the ottoman and inside was like Formula One seat, the steering wheel and the gas pedals.
That's amazing.
So you take the ottoman and you just rotate it 90 degrees, point it at the TV. But like with this, you just put the headset on and just, yeah, like sit in your own little like fake car and drive. Yeah, with the feedback and stuff.
Like the, so dry, a Dirt Rally released.
That would
Dirt
be
Rally 3. And apparently it has such incredible rave reviews. It's apparently hard as anything.
Yeah.
But in a rewarding sense, not in a Dark Souls sense. Yeah. Well, I guess, hold on. Never mind. I'm going to take that back. Dark Souls is rewarding, apparently, if you survive. but it's not difficult to be difficult. It's just like you're driving a rally car, so you got to be good at it.
Yeah.
And apparently, like, I think at some point they're supposed to have Gran Turismo,
yes,
come out for it. Which, man, just that and steering wheel, pretty sweet.
It is so much easier to drive because you can tell how fast you're going to take that turn, right? Where in the 2D screen, you kind of know, or you can kind of memorize where you're supposed to hit the brake and then gas it into the corner. But in VR, you can totally tell the sense of speed you're getting around the corner, and corner as and correct and overcorrect. Like I was drifting like it was nothing, like just like right around that corner. It was perfect. I was looking over my shoulder as I was doing it to see the guy behind me. Like just the sense of that and the environment around you is just, it's supportive. It helps the game in that sense. And it didn't give me sickness, so.
What's interesting about that one too is that the graphics on Drive Club are not, not incredible. Like it's relatively noticeable as far as like, you know, this isn't next gen level incredible vistas, but the same, it doesn't particularly detract from it because everything else is so crisp and fast and everything. You feel so immersed that it doesn't really detract, surprisingly.
Yeah. I think if the whole thing's cohesive, probably it sort of comes together. Like if you have a situation where like one thing really stands out where it's like, wow, that steering wheel is great, but everything else is sort of lo-fi. Like if it sort of has the same level of quality uniformly, it makes the world believable and nothing really feels sort of like uncanny valley, so to speak.
I will say the best game I played though was the Battlefront demo in the X-Wing. It is insanely done, insanely detailed. You can press every button in the X-Wing and it can operate what it, like the S-foils unlock, everything. And then you go into a space sim and you can flying over a destroyer while it's firing at you and the laser cannons are pointing at you and turning to find you is crazy. And it's awesome.
That's the one where, like, that was the one moment where I was honestly, like, jealous. Where I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have given it to him that soon. That was the one where I was like, what have I done?
Yeah.
That was really the only one. Like, the rest, I'm like, eh.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's also, too, like, I know right now it's totally not feasible for, like, the way my life is. Like, when she gets a little bit older and can understand, like, don't pour milk on the delicate equipment. That would be great. Or, like, if our situation changes and I have a spot that's a little bit more baby-proof to set something like this up, then great. Mm-hmm. But I also felt like, if I crack into this thing, am I just going to tease myself with the unobtainable? But yeah, no, hearing about the Star Wars thing, that sounded pretty cool.
It's such a big tease, too, because, like, you could do a full game like that, and it would be just, like, take my money. Like, that's...
Is it functional in a sense? So when you're pressing all the buttons inside the cockpit, like, so you're fighting and like, oh no, I have to, I don't know, decouple the X foils and you have to actually press, like, that's, or is it just like decoration?
You can't. So the buttons completely work. So you, and all your readouts work and everything.
With purpose? Like,
yeah. So, well, the only purpose I found was the S foil unlock, and there's like a shield button that you can put. You can operate those with a controller as well.
It's like the shield button, like yes and no switch.
Eject. So it's, and it kind of gives you, there's like a little intro area where the menu comes up and a giant AT-AT goes over the menu and you're just looking up at it and it's just like for no reason at all. They just say, hey, look what we can do. And then you get into the X-Wing and you can press all the buttons and like the, kind of like the glass folds down and pops up and you can work all the other stuff and turn around and see R2-D2 behind you kind of looking at you and talking to you. But then in the game, like even just blowing up asteroids and having them shatter with physics, like having that depth of the physics and then trying to maneuver around the small ones and they can hit your X-Wing and damage you is just neat. And going to light speed, like the hyper speed is like you're doing it. I don't know how they simulated it, but having the whole, like, you know how in the films, obviously, when the space kind of blurs and folds around you and then goes through, that whole effect is there. And then you're going through this like lit blue tunnel and the stars whipping around you and you could still look behind you and see R2-D2 like behind you and then look forward. And then the bubble kind of slows down and you zip in is mind boggling. I don't like, just make a game. Just stop it. It's like a 15-minute demo, and you're done.
You ever play X-Wing versus TIE Fighter?
Yes.
The X-Wing TIE Fighter games.
Just do that.
Those games were phenomenal because you had to balance like energy and like, okay, my power resources are only this much, and I'm gonna shift more towards the weapons than towards the shields. You had that like risk reward balance. It's like I'm gonna go full offense, but that means I'm gonna be vulnerable to attack, but that's not gonna matter because I'm gonna hit them before they have a chance to hit back. But to have that within a VR setting with like the Star Wars, like especially like the I guess it's retro now, but like the classic, like the X-wing and TIE fighter battles and stuff.
Yeah,
and to just like, yeah, to do that strafing run on a Star Destroyer. Yeah, like I think that would definitely entice me to invest in something like that later on.
Yeah, at least come over for a visit.
Yeah,
they would honestly sell a lot of people if they just demoed that all the time.
So I think if what I'm really I'm just so hopeful for is less excited to other people would be the if they ever just made No Man's Sky VR. If there's anywhere I could be in that world, but just have, especially in the spaceships and just the size and the mass of it, like all the planets. I don't know if it's possible with the size of the game and what's required, the horsepower, but also with Elite Dangerous, which is an incredible sim that I'd played on PC. I've been looking at it like longingly from a VR standpoint. I know that's launching on PS4, and it's just that there's been no word about, again, just the size and the complexity of the game. I don't know that the hardware can handle it from a VR perspective. So we'd have to see. Now, the hack would be, I don't know if you've researched or seen that, is there is a very active community currently hacking it so that it'll work on PC.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you could totally, and you've seen the demo, it works surprisingly well. It's pretty straightforward USB and HDMI. Like the PlayStation did not do a lot of work to like lock it down or proprietary. Mm-hmm. So folks have been able to get it to work with PCs and Elite Dangerous, for instance. I suppose there's that hope, depending on how much I want to fandangle it. But it's just the setup of it is, I don't have time, man. I'm a dad.
Yeah, and you wouldn't want those games to be like, these ones are pretty slick, right? Like they've been through tests and having like a jittery PC game through VR would just make you food.
Yeah, and I feel like you go through all of that setup and then like the experience isn't just completely a true space sim will come out for PSVR and not just these little demos. I mean, I don't know if you'll get a chance to play. You'd have to see how you would get it. Maybe you could rent it around Eve Valkyrie because you had tried that demo, I remember.
Yeah, I tried it again at the demo, and it's cool, the scale of it. Again, I think the Battlefront one, is the graphics in that one are way better. Somehow, their engine is just way better. But Eve Valkyrie, just the scale of your ship is more massive than what the X-Wing was.
But the problem is just like it's very contained battles and like... And you don't get to jump to other stars. It's very much just a dogfight.
Yeah.
For some length of time. So
I
just wonder. I truly wouldn't see it ever again.
Dream. No, it's mine. Sorry.
And that's the X-Wing game. Jeff's like, well, this friendship's over.
That's it.
That seesaw, it's like, okay. Friendship value versus PSVR value.
Which is literally $600, so that's nice. You can't put a price on friendship. Yes, you can. $600 plus tax. Yeah.
It's $599. That's the price on friendship.
One Nintendo Switch.
I'll send you a Switch as compensation. Don't worry about it. So any final thoughts, Jeff, on VR, like your new virtual reality that you exist in?
Everyone does need to try it. Like there's a lot to just look at it.
Everybody, whoever has it in their apartment should truly set it up and try it.
They need to go somewhere, beg, borrow, steal to try it and try at least the Playroom one. And if they had Battlefront, because that will sell you on just the experience alone.
There's also something you said, it's like, trying something that you know is totally outside of your grasp for at least a few years. Like it's one of those things where it's like, I know that as much as I might like PSVR, it's not conducive to my life for at least another 2 to 3 years. So trying it now isn't going to change that fact.
It'll satisfy the need a little bit for a while.
It won't. It will just give me... insatiable craving that will go unanswered for that time. So part of it is like, it's kind of, if you're not in a position to really indulge that, like, is it right to teach yourself Or do you like, no, ignorance is bliss. And when I start to encroach on this moment where it might be something for me, then it's like, okay, then I'll try it. But right now, even if I love it, I can't do anything about it for quite some time until things change around here in regards to just like appropriate age and stuff like that.
If your daughter gets older, you could definitely spring for this. And because it's a good family, like there are some family games that you can play with them and not have it all to yourself.
It's just like, but by the time I'm going to be ready for it, like they'll probably be giving them away. So, you know, I'll
Secondhand from Trevor.
Yeah, click, click six stamps at McDonald's and get your free VR set. Oh, everybody, thank you so much for listening. This has been New Dad Gaming. If you'd like to reach out to us with any show notes, ideas, or questions, you can find us at our website, newdadgaming.com. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or any podcasting service. If you'd rate, subscribe, or pass it along to friends, we'd really appreciate it. We do the show weekly. And pass along to new dads, virtual or not. Won a game. Thanks so much, everybody. My name is Trevor, and I have a 1.5-year-old.
My name is Gavin. I have a 1.5-year-old.
I'm Jeff. I have a 6.5-year-old, 3.5-year-old, and a PSVR. I'm never giving back.
And my new child.
Yeah, that's right. New addition.
I mean, it's virtually my new child, I guess.
Yeah.
Say goodnight to Pisfer for me.
Hello, Pisfer. He's waiting.
All the new kids are named Pisfer from now. Pisfer 2, don't. I told you to be gentle to Pisfer 1. Yeah. You're senior. Bye, everybody.
See ya.
Bye.